Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Crudy Does DC, Wednesday edition, happier, happy hour. Dom, I see you in Madison in the Solidarity Realty Studios. I see Dayton the booth. And you fine folks, you can always be a part, 844-967-2789. And my pal Bill Press joining me here at the Royal Sonesta Capitol Hill in D.C. Dom, I came to D.C. I brought you back a Speaker of the House.
But it's not,
not a good Speaker.
No, but a Speaker.
But a Speaker.
A Speaker. At least we can get some business done, question mark. Like, what kind of business? I don't know. Anti-LGBTQ. I got to say this. I quoted the new Speaker Johnson from mid-2000s when he was very, very critical about gay marriage. Further in the, also in this CNN article, Johnson, according to Punchbowl News, reportedly made an issue of Tom Emmer's vote. Now, Tom Emmer, of course, he initially beat out Johnson, came under fire from conservatives for voting to codify same-sex marriage in 2022. I mentioned maybe Johnson maybe changed his tune on this. No, he hasn't. He's super anti-gay man. He's Mega Mike.
Now, when Emmer voted for Johnson, Mike Johnson, that is, the whole chamber, well, at least the Republican caucus, got up and cheered a standing O for Emmer for, quote-unquote, doing the right thing.
I mean, I guess that's pretty much representative of the Republican stance these days, anti-LGBTQ. And given how white Christian nationally he is, I'm not surprised. Now, how that flows from the speakership and how that affects, you know, the business of governing, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know my thoughts on the whole topic, Scrutiny.
Well, Dominic, the other big story of the day, at least as far as I was concerned, Donald Trump took the stand today in his own fraud trial, at least on a limited capacity, and apparently he was questioned, why should the judge not impose further sanctions because he continues to break the gag order? My understanding, and he stood before the judge, and he gave testimony. In my understanding, this was before Michael Cohen, the former fixer, was brought into the courtroom, Tom. And Cohen was not able to comment on it. Cohen did a little presser. I did observe some of that as I was scrambling back from the hill. But here's the point. The judge in this trial said Trump was not credible and fined him another $10,000 and said the next time it's going to be worse, whatever worse means, Dom.
According to the Raw story, calling Trump to the stand, the judge asked Trump if he made comments this morning, quoted in the Associated Press, that were considered to be attacking a court clerk. Trump replied that he did, and Engeron ruled it was a violation, according to MSNBC's Lisa Rubin, quote, as you can see, and everyone can see, first of all, my principal law clerk is very close to me, the judge explained while Trump was on the stand. You and I can see each other. We're close. And there's a barrier between us. Would that be at best somewhat ambiguous? Don't you always refer to Michael Cohen as Michael Cohen? The judge continued, responding to a claim earlier made in the day that Trump's lawyer, Chris Kizzy, said the comment had been directed at Cohen. No, Trump claimed. Maybe worse, the attorney chimed in. Maybe a lot worse, another Trump attorney, Alina Haba, quipped. Engeron excused Trump from the stand and said, as the trier of fact, I find the witness was not credible. He was referring to my law clerk, who was much closer to me. He hit Trump with another 10K. Oh, he's not messing around.
Not credible, Dom.
I hope he takes cash from Trump, because I'm not sure that check would cash.
844-967-2789. Now, I don't know if you heard any of the reporting on the testimony, because this is not a televised trial, this fraud trial, and this does not lead to jail time for Trump, not directly at least, but it is very damning to his reputation as this successful businessman. And I know yesterday I was watching some of the post-Cohen testimony reporting. He was on the stand yesterday and again today, Dom. And my understanding is Cohen has been to some degree undermined by Alina Habba, the attorney for Trump, in that he did admit on the stand he had lied in prior federal proceedings before the judge. So, you know, why are you telling the truth now? Well, part of the testimony Cohen made is that Trump consistently told him and the, CFO Alan Weisselberg, I'm worth perhaps one day $4.5 million on paper. No, billion, that is. Trump's always bees. No, I'm worth $6 billion. And then it would be Cohen's job and Weisselberg's job to go reverse engineer the value of the assets to try to achieve the value that the crooked boss wanted him to achieve. But what he is representing very, very clearly, my understanding, Dom, fraud. Fraud in the first degree.
Lots of fraud. Can't say Trump without fraud. Also, the other news, former President Donald Trump's chief of staff in the White House, Mark Meadows, has spoken with Special Counsel Jack Smith's team at least three times this year, including once before a federal grand jury, which came only after Smith granted Meadows immunity to testify under oath, according to sources being reported at ABC News. Now, I know
a lot of pushback on the ABC News reporting. In fact, Meadows' attorney said, you know, believe it if you want to, but I don't find it credible. A lot of pushback on the ABC News reporting, and everyone else reporting this story is putting that little precursor out there. But what I would say, I heard Joyce Vance last night on MSNBC say there are effectively two different types of immunity he may have been granted. He could have been granted a limited immunity, effectively, that his own testimony could not be used against him, but that rules out the Fifth. That precludes him from failing to give testimony before the grand jury. And then there's another kind of immunity, more of a negotiated immunity, if I understood it, Dom. And I'm less clear, and Joyce Vance did not clearly know from the ABC News reporting that's, again, been pushed back on, what sort of immunity specifically was granted to Mark Meadows. But to date, he has not been indicted, not in the D.C. deal, and I'm here in D.C. now, and I don't hear any rumblings from Jack Smith's office that he has been indicted yet. But, of course, he is one of the 18 co-defendants in the Fulton County and the Fawny Willis, Dom.
One of the remaining 14, because four have already pled guilty and are now cooperating with Fawny Willis.
And I also see there is reporting today Fawny Willis has offered plea deals to at least six other co-defendants.
Yeah.
Probably Mark Meadows amongst them, but
excellent.
Who knows?
Excellent.
Who knows?
Line them up, knock them down. By the time it's all said and done, it's only going to be Trump and Giuliani at that table.
You think those will be the final two? I mean, Jenna Ellis, I think while we were off the air, while I was traveling yesterday, I think Jenna Ellis took her turn to plead guilty, Dom. And I think her crime was, fraudulently filing court documents or filing documents she knew to be wrong. And I assume that's a misdemeanor charge. They continue to seemingly plead to the slap on the wrist in regards to the Trump co-defendants. But, Dom, I think the good times are going to end for those that plead early and for those that plead late, less so.
According to the AP, Ellis pleaded guilty to one felony count of aiding and abetting false statements and writings. So, yeah, it's still a felony. And she feels really, really bad about it as a lawyer and as a Christian. She feels really bad. She feels bad. But maybe you just can't, you know, ask for forgiveness from the judge and be forgiven. You guys got to go to your church for that, Jenna.
well, the felonious pleading could preclude her from practicing law, Dom. Could preclude her from doing her chosen profession. And Michael Cohen, I think part of the representation of Alina Haba, A-L-I-N-A, however you say it, Haba, the Trump lawyer in the fraud trial, is Michael Cohen effectively, as a convicted felon, is no longer able to practice his vocation. So his new vocation is really, he's in the Trump trashing business. And he's living, you know, doing media hits and as a contributor on different things.
Yeah.
But without Trump, that effectively he has no vocation any longer because of his prior felonious actions. He's no longer eligible to practice law.
Well, what does that even mean
like
without
most of the
Trump?
Other Trump lawyers.
But what does that even mean without Trump? I mean, Trump is still Trump. Trump's there. Trump's not president, but Trump's still here. And the guy worked for Trump, and he could trash the guy as much as he wants. And as long as someone wants to hear it and bring him around, okay. But there is no, I mean, if Trump died today or was whisked off the earth somehow, right? Michael Cohen would still have something to say about Donald Trump. So I'm not clear what that's supposed to mean.
Well, maybe it's a prelude to the fact that every single one of the attorneys, now we got Sidney Powell, now we got Cheese Bro, and now we've got Jenna Ellis, have all pled, right?
Yes.
And if she is somehow disbarred because of her pleading to a felony count, Dom, I can see a very similar defense being put on to what was put on against Michael Cohen. Well, his only vocation, because he's a felon, is Trump.
But that's always going to be the case in a RICO proceeding like this. You know what I mean? Everyone's charged, you know? And then some are going to plead, some are going to flip. Well, then what are you pleading to? What are you flipping to? Oh, yeah, I did it. And then what? Trump's attorneys, when he's the only guy left. Oh, look, they're all lying. Everyone else is lying? And Donald Trump is the victim of this grand conspiracy? No, you were part of the conspiracy, Trump. That's why they came at you with RICO. That's why 4 of the 18 have flipped. And according to Crudy, another 6 potentially could flip as well.
Well, that's not Crudy's reporting. I saw that elsewhere. We'd never lie to you. You're listening to the greatest radio
show
ever.
Elsewhere. If you can't quote your source, I'm quoting you. Crudy said it.
I'll take that, but I saw it reported elsewhere because I was busting my ass on the Hill trying to bring you a House Speaker race that I never thought would bring us Mike Johnson. And, you know, we brought you Mark Pocan. I'm going to bring you Bill Press soon. But if you got your thoughts, right now would be a great time for a phone call. 844-967-2789. Crudy does DC. More Devil's Advocates. Happier happy hour.
Sixty percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Our pal, Bill Press, he's a podcaster, he's a pundit, he's a prognosticator, and most importantly, he's a good friend of the Devil's Advocates. He's going to join Crudy in the hotel in D.C. Crudy on the road. Crudy does D.C., once again, 844-967-2789.
I am preparing for Bill Press' imminent arrival at this time. Dom, I was also checking out the text line. Andrew from Verona asked, did Mark Pocan, I assume he means, at least offer you a couple two-tree beers?
Yeah.
Too bad Van Orden isn't in town. I've heard his office is a go-to spot to get sloshed.
Nice.
There was also a text out here on the WAUK line. Kind of feels like a shotgun speakership.
Right.
This Mike Johnson, you know, it wasn't anybody's first choice or second choice or
third
choice. But by the fourth time through, Dom, he became the choice. Someone else also said, so his mother got knocked up at 17 in high school. How very Christian. I don't know if that's true or not. Jeff from Shorewood is my source, Dom.
Thank you, Michael.
You can be our source at 844-96-PARTY. Crudy does DC. I got Bill Press flipping me off through the hotel glass right now. Bill is on the scene. He'll be
all
joining
right.
us here on
Let's
the air
Let's get some
very, very
phone
shortly.
Calls in while we have the time. Wisco Paul, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Devils. Trump is now the Speaker of the House.
right.
Yeah, this could end in disaster. I can't see anything good happening. I wish I could think of a positive thing, but there is none. So I don't.
Well, I mean, I would say this. You know, the positive thing, at least my understanding is he's presented, the new speaker has presented perhaps an opportunity to extend the current funding through maybe the end of the year, maybe through April. So at least in that regard, it doesn't seem like they're imminently going to shut it down again. Who knows what happens between, you know, now and then. But, I mean, at least there's someone there to help conduct the business, Paul. I mean, even if it's bad business and it can be rejected by you know, a president, if any sort of actual legislation gets out, but they, at least they can get the resolution to support Israel out, Paul.
A key word there was someone. He's someone.
Right.
I don't know who he is. Someone. If not, you know, it's just the point, you got to be able to. Actually, this guy, I heard it said, is Jim Jordan in a suit coat. So they could have. What I'm trying to say here is the GOP can do better than this. If you want to become the Trump party, you know, go.
Well, they
for
are.
It. That's all I can say.
Yeah, Paul. I mean, that's exactly what
are
they are.
Are you sure they can do better than this? Because
he seems very.
Prior example demonstrates they can.
And he is very representative, Paul, of what the megas are. He's Mega Mike, man. I mean, we talked about the anti-LGBTQ, right? The anti-abortion. He's all the things, the Christian nationalism. He is all the things that MAGA wants to be. So in that regard, he absolutely represents what MAGA is. Now, what's gone, you know, the Kinzingers, you know, the Mitt Romney types, they're long gone, man. This is the MAGA party. And I was talking to Todd Alba earlier. It's like, are we actually seeing the Republican Party disintegrate before our eyes? And perhaps we are. But in the meantime, they'll be led by Mega Mike Johnson. Thanks for the call, Wisco, 844-967-2789. Catherine from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Catherine. What do you got for us?
Hey, Catherine.
Hi, guys. Hi. I have a auxiliary thought. It's really not, it's just something I was thinking about. And I've never heard of this guy, Mike Johnson. There's so many people in the news. I just don't. He's flown under my radar. And I'm wondering how much he's going to stand up to the scrutiny that the person who's second in line for the presidency now, you know, I mean, people are going to be looking at his financial stuff, personal stuff, family stuff. I don't think he's really had that much scrutiny before. I just wonder what's going to happen with that.
Hopefully he holds up better than Clarence Thomas, because I saw today from a Senate committee that Clarence Thomas never repaid a $267,000 RV loan. That must have been a hell of a sweet RV and a hell of a sweet deal if you don't have to pay it back.
If you don't pay it back, it's not really a loan, isn't it? It's just like they're giving you money if you don't pay it back. Hey, I'd rather owe it to you forever than never pay you. Catherine, I think you make a great point. You know, what kind of scrutiny was he under? But I think ultimately, we see the reporting coming out. We know the kinds of things that he has said. Now, whether or not there's any shenanigans, like as Crudy mentioned, refers to Clarence Thomas and his, you know, $250,000 payoff. We don't know that kind of stuff yet, but we know policy-wise, based on the committees he was in, based on the reporting of what his comments have been on multitude of issues, we know exactly where he is in that regard. Thanks for the call, Catherine. 844-967-2789. Oh, go ahead, Curdy.
No. I was just nodding along with you for a change. I agree with you, Dominic.
Right. Specifically, seeing this reporting at the Raw story, Clarence Thomas never repaid a millionaire friend's $267,000 loan, which the Supreme Court justice used to buy a 40-foot luxury motor coach. Senate investigators announced on Wednesday. Healthcare magnate Anthony Welters told the Senate Finance Committee he forgave the RV loan after 5 years of receiving payments on the interest, but not the principal. Here's a quote from
does that?
Ron
what bank? I mean, unless the guy is financially destitute, is the Supreme Court justice financially destitute? And would that not constitute a significant gift, Dom?
Yeah.
I mean, that is actually a taxable gift.
Yes.
Gifts of larger than, I believe it's $16,000 per year, perhaps per spouse. So he could forgive, what, $32,000, $34,000 a year tax-free to the giver. But a guy had to go pay taxes for the right to forgive this loan, to Clarence Thomas.
We now know that Justice Thomas had up to $267,230 in debt forgiven and never reported it on his ethics forms. Senate Finance Committee Chair Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, said,
I wonder if he put it on his tax forms.
Wyden called on Thomas to specify exactly how much of the debt he paid and whether the loan was reported on tax returns. I have also directed the committee to share our findings with the Judiciary Committee to evaluate the ethics and implications of this disclosure. Damn, man. I mean, what? No, nothing to see here. We don't need any sort of oversight. We don't need anything that all other judges in the federal court system have to abide by. No. We'll self-regulate. But we'll let you know if there's a problem. And apparently getting $250,000 to, you know, hump around the country in an 40-foot RV, that's nothing that you little people need to worry about. It's all good.
You know, I was walking by the Supreme Court, the literal Supreme Court yesterday, Dom, and I walked Mrs. Crudy by, and she was taken aback. There's some strong odor, and I'm not sure if it's flowers or, you know, backwano. I'm not sure exactly, but my take is, you might be allergic to the corruption of Clarence Thomas, and that's what you're smelling right now, baby. Crudy does DC, Devils Advocates, doing it like only we can, and I got a fine guest. He's walking over right now, the incomparable Bill Press. He's a pundit. He's a podcaster. He's a friend of ours. He joins me next, live at the Royal Sonesta, kind of a swanky place right here on Capitol
Hill. Can't believe they let you in, Crudy.
I'm wearing shorts.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a whopper of a Wednesday. I assure you, Crudy does DC, and now I've brought along a friend of ours. You could see him. He's Bill Press. He's a pundit. He's a podcaster.
Hey, Bill.
Well, hold on one second, Bill. Are we hearing him okay?
All right.
Are we hearing Bill okay?
There we go.
Can you
there
hear
we go.
Bill?
There we go. Now you can hear me. Yeah, all that's right. It. That's the old trick, turning somebody's microphone off.
Yeah, rookie Crudy. Yeah,
usually you wait until they say something outrageous to do that. He did it right. So, you know, so, Dom, what can I say? You know, you and I meet in Plaza Verona, in Rome, and Crudy and I meet in the hotel lobby in Washington, D.C.
It's a good life, Bill. It's a good life, man.
Now, did they have a giant beaver at the Roman fountains? Because there's a giant beaver over by the elevators here.
No, instead, we had some of the most beautiful statues and fountains in all of Rome. Bernini himself came to our little dinner. Good to see you guys. Welcome to D.C.
Well, thank you,
Bill. And, I mean, it's certainly good that you're here for such an exciting day. I mean, I'm beyond enthusiasm that we have a new Speaker of the House.
I mean, I was looking for, like, black smoke or white smoke out of the Capitol Dome. How did they make that announcement?
Well, there was a black smoke because they were burning documents. You know, he got the job for two reasons, right? I mean, this is really, first of all, 3 weeks making total fools of themselves, which I got to say, for this gang, it's not hard for them to make total fools of themselves because they're such idiots anyway. So Johnson got the job not because anybody knows who he is. You know what? This is my job, right? 24 hours a day, I'm doing politics. I never freaking heard of this guy. I never heard of Mike Johnson.
Mike Johnson.
Before. No.
I'd seen him once. He looks like a little like Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, he looks like a nerd. He is a nerd, right?
Well, he looks like a Republican nerd.
Republican nerd, sorry. Yeah. So anyhow, he didn't get the job because he's well known. He didn't get the job because he's qualified. He's been there 8 years. He's never run anything. He's never chaired a committee. He's never been in charge of anything. And now he's freaking Speaker of the House. I mean, it's crazy. He got the job for two reasons. Number one, because Republicans were just sick and tired. They got fatigued. They've been mud wrestling for 3 weeks. And they finally just said, one of the Republicans says, we'll take a live body. And I think the first one to walk by was Mike Johnson. So I said, all right, I'll do it. Number one. Number two, he really got the job because Donald Trump said, he's my guy.
Is that it? I had seen that Trump killed Ember's nomination. But speaker wannabe candidacy, but...
Yeah, so he said, I'm not going to support, endorse Mike Johnson because I don't want to look like I'm dictating, but I strongly encourage everybody to vote for Mike Johnson. Yeah, as if that's a big difference. But I want to come back to what you just said. This is what I find unbelievable. We got the House of Representatives. This is an independent branch of the government, the Congress, right? They got a guy they voted. They want him to be our next speaker, Tom Emmer. He's been the whip. He's been in charge. He's the guy who knows his way around, right? And Trump says, no, I don't want him because he at one time said, oh, he voted for Biden. He voted to accept Biden as the next president after Biden won the election by 7 million votes. So Donald Trump dictated to this Republicans in the House, no, you cannot take that guy. Imagine. So just think about the breakdown of our government when the Congress would ask a former president, is this guy okay? Now, we voted for him, but, you know, hey, Donnie, baby, is this guy okay with you? It is appalling. It's outrageous.
My thought was, it's not so much that Trump can make a candidacy as he can kill a candidacy.
Exactly. Yes.
He killed Emmer, but he could not raise Jim Jordan. And in fact, his trial, his fraud trial going on, he seemed sort of, above it all, or at least away from it all.
He couldn't raise Jim Jordan. Let me see. Mike Jordan, no relation, would not have the Johnson, I guess, Johnson, sorry.
Mike Johnson.
Johnson would not have the job if Donald Trump had said, no, he's no good. Would not have the job. So it's a big day in Washington. Hey, Don.
Hey, folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Bill Press, he's a podcaster, he's a pundit, he's a prognosticator, he's a friend of ours. Great to see you, Bill. Wish I was there with you. Looks awesome in D.C., an historic day. I like your point about Mr. Johnson. Nobody knows him. Perhaps that's why he got the job. And, of course, he's a Trump sycophant. And, of course, he's anti-LGBTQ. He checks all the mega boxes. I think it was Gates referring to him as Mega Mike, man. I mean, this is Donald Trump's guy. This is Donald Trump's party. Bill, is there anything left of the original grand old party? I was just drove through Ripon the other day where the birthplace of the Republican Party. Is it dying? Is it dead? How do you see this Republican Party moving forward past 2024?
You know what? It's too bad you're not here because tomorrow we could go over to the Smithsonian Natural History Museum. They got two great new exhibits. The first one is the dinosaur exhibit. And then right next to it is the Republican Party exhibit. They're one and the same. The Republican Party is dead. It is dead. And, you know, look, there are guys out there, by the way, whom I admire. And I've had them on my podcast, and I'm sure you have too. You don't like me to mention Charlie Sykes, but I will. Because the stuff he's doing today is good. Just forget his background for now. Bill Kristol, Stuart Stevens, these guys, the Lincoln Project, Liz Cheney, yeah. Adam Kinzinger. There are a handful, but I've talked to a lot of them, and I've asked them, is there any chance, right, that the Republican Party, which is a party, smaller government, lower taxes, you know, all that, right, that party could ever reinstate itself, right? Ever come back? And they've all told me, no way. It's no way. It is now the MAGA party. So there are two parties today, the Democratic Party and the MAGA party. There is no mainstream Republican Party. And that, I'm a Democrat. I've been a Democrat all my life. But I think we need at least two choices.
At least two parties.
Right? Yeah. God. So it's and that's what we're seeing. Again, you know, there's a little bit of, they call them, what is it? There's a few spineless mainstream Republicans in the House.
Rhinos? That's what they call them.
They call them rhinos. Squishies. Squishies is the word I was looking
squishy.
For. Squishies. Because there may be 20 of them out of 219, but they always fold. You know what I mean? So with that slim a margin, they could control if one of them would stand up. One of them could have stood up in the last 3 weeks and said, you know what? I'm willing to make a deal with Hakeem Jeffries to keep the House open. We're not going to fold. We're not going to give away everything. But I'm willing to say, okay, we'll stick to that budget deal that Kevin McCarthy made with Joe Biden. We'll stick with aid to Ukraine, which most Americans want. And we'll get rid of this stupid rule that says you can throw out the speaker. One person at any time can, you know, call for a motion to dismiss the speaker for any reason whatsoever. Maybe those three little things, it would have been easy for Democrats to agree with, and we would have been in business, right? Now we got this mess.
Bill Press, I had a brush with greatness in you today, but I also had a brush with Lauren Boebert coming back from Capitol Hill, and I look at her as perhaps one of the personifications of the MAGA movement.
Did she grab your crotch?
She did not.
Oh, all right.
Fair question.
She did give me a look, Bill, that I could only interpret as an invitation.
The last time I saw Lauren Boebert was when she was at the Beetlejuice concert with her drag queen Squeeze.
At the theater.
Yeah. Distract you.
She looked classy-ish today. Classy with the K. It was the point I was trying to get to, other than name dropping the Lauren Boebert walking around in a prom dress today, is, Bill, do you think there is a dying of this MAGA movement, or do you think the fact that they picked this speaker gives all this craziness a reprieve for a minute, and then it's all going to come crashing down upon the country again?
Wait a minute. Have you looked at the polls in the Republican primary lately?
Oh, yeah. Trump's up big.
I mean, he's ahead by like 40, 45 points over anybody. So you think I don't see any sign at all that the MAGA movement is dying. The MAGA movement is, I think, stronger than ever. Trump gets stronger than ever. But here's I'm convinced, after Trump is gone, and he will be gone.
Yeah.
You've heard me say before, I've said on your show, I don't think he'll be the nominee. Because
Dom says it all the time, but I don't listen to him either, Bill.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, look what happened today. He got slammed today again in the court. $10,000. The judge said, you know, hey, dude, I told you not to put this stuff up. You
Ten
did.
Grand, that's Dominic's bar tab.
Top of the five.
That's chump change.
All right, but beyond that, though, Bill, we talk about, you know, the movement. And perhaps it's strong within the megas. It's strong. I don't know that it's growing. In fact, I think it's you know, declining to a degree. And here's why I would suggest that.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You got the megas rolling over, man. You got Jenna Ellis. You got Kenneth Cheesebro. You got the Kraken lady, Sidney Powell. You got attorneys for Donald Trump admitting in federal court that they lied. You got Fox News admitting that they lied. I mean, everybody following the megas.
When did Fox News admit it?
when they got caught and they have to pay the bill. So here's the point. Don't you think that at some point all the confirmed, factual, provable lies that they admitted to themselves will eventually soak into some of the megas?
No.
Damn it.
No.
A definitive answer. He gave you a firm no.
I was just going to say, look, those are all, and we ought to talk about that. That is extremely important, what's happened in the last couple of days, right? You got Ken Cheesehead, you got Jenna Ellis, and you've got now Mark Meadows, right? And you got Michael Cohen on the witness stand. I'm wondering when Rudy Giuliani's going to flip, but I'm not sure they will. But that's going to happen. That's going to hurt Trump. That's why I think you and I think Trump won't be the nominee, because I think it's all this is going to combine. It's going to come down on him, and he's going to be indicted soon, and before the election, before the convention. But the MAGA base will still, I think, stay strong. They'll still – I mean, Jesus, last night Donald Trump compared himself to Nelson Mandela.
I mean, if he's got to go to jail for everybody, he's willing to do that. I would accept that. Trump, absolutely go to jail for me. I would appreciate that.
And these people believe him when he says he's the next Nelson Mandela.
Well, you know? Trump also said it would take Jesus Christ to win the speakership. And Mike Johnson, you're no Jesus Christ.
And neither is Donald Trump.
No, I suspect he's not. Bill Press, my fine guest here at the Royal Sonesta, Capitol Hill, Crudy Does D.C. Bill, always great to see you, sir. And
welcome to Capitol Hill. You know, I live on Capitol Hill.
Do you? This is my first. When Dom and I came, last time I was in this town, we came for the Trump inauguration. We stayed for the Women's March. And I have not been back to D.C. since, Bill.
And we broadcast from Bill's studio at the time. We smoked weed
up on the roof.
I was going to say, didn't we broadcast together at the time?
We did.
Right.
I will confess to the broadcasting aspect.
And remember, there were more people at the Women's March than there were at Donald Trump's inauguration.
It was amazing.
Fact.
I was telling that story just yesterday when Trump said, it looks like a million people. I got to tell you, we were on ground level. We were using Ron Johnson's tickets at the inauguration. And I'm looking back at the Washington Monument. And that was the biggest crowd I'd ever seen from ground level. But the very next day when you were in the streets with all the women in the pink hats and that there was no march. There was a movement. There were millions. That was an enormous crowd. I've never seen anything like it in my life. He's Bill Press. He's sticking around. More Devil's Advocates. Crudy Does DC. And I got a friend with me. He's Bill Press. We'll come back. One final segment, at least for today, Dom.
And then it's quitting time. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Stick around. One final segment. We'll be right back.
Got a wife in Chino, baby, and one Cherokee. First one say she got my child, but it don't look like me. I said I'm running, but I took my time. A friend, the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. But make sure you stick around. There's more coming on the Civic Media Network. Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
Dom, it's soon going to be drinks and victuals for Bill Press and myself, but we're going to do a little more radio here today.
We're going first class, too. We're going down to the Palm. Yeah, I already called ahead. I said, have the martinis ready and
nice.
and put that New York steak on the grill.
Oh, man, you guys are killing me, man.
That sounds like my kind of dinner, victuals, and cocktails. Bill Press, so glad that you made a little time for us tonight in D.C., Now, you got a column coming out tomorrow. Let me ask you, a little preview. What's going to publish at the Hill in your name?
Well,
the House Speaker, right? How could you ignore that?
Tomorrow's column is a column I write for the Tribune Syndicate.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
No, that's right. But you're right. I'm going to write that. I'm already started writing about Tom Johnson. We've already talked a little bit about you got a flavor of what I got to say, right?
Yeah.
That this is Trump's guy and that's all. I think the headline I put it on is Trump – Trump's a marionette, and the GOP speaker, they elect a puppet, right? Right. So, but anyway, my Hill column this week, I'm talking about. I had fun with this one. I pointed out, all right, the closer you get to 2024, the more that all the issues that the Republicans wanted to run on are kind of fading. Like, they were going to say, we're going to run on the economy. Hey, dude, the economy is pretty strong right now. Everything is up that should be up. Everything's down that should be down. You got inflation's down. Gas prices are down. So then they say, well, we're going to run on immigration. Yeah, well, you know, the border's not great, but the border wasn't great under Trump either, right? I mean,
they forget that part, Bill.
They forget that part. So that's, they can't, and I said, they certainly can't run on, we're the party that knows how to get things done or to govern, right? So the only thing they got left is, we're going to run on, Biden's too damn old.
Yeah.
The problem is Biden doesn't cooperate. Biden goes and walks a picket line. Biden goes to Kyiv. Biden goes to Tel Aviv. He's the only president that's gone to a war zone, and he went twice, right? Not controlled by the U.S. military. So Republicans kind of left basically with nothing, right? Instead, they got their guy who I think is losing it.
I think Trump's losing it.
I
think that might be true. I thought the entire party was losing it, but let me ask you. So, I asked Pocan this question earlier today. Now
you
that
mean
we've
our got, honorable Congressman
yes,
Mark Pocan,
yes.
good friend of all of ours.
I call him Mark. but here's the question. These Republicans have elected a speaker, but to govern or to shut down the government? Because, Bill, we're going to find out really, really quick. If this last month has been chaotic, what happens if Speaker Johnson leads the charge to shut down the government?
It shuts down. If he leads the charge, it shuts down. I cannot believe that coming out of this 3 weeks of monumental national embarrassment that Republicans themselves have to, even these guys up here, they admit they look like total asses, right? I can't admit they're going to come out of that and shut down the government. Having said that,
I'm telling you, Lauren Boebert had a twinkle in her eye today, Bill.
Having said that, I believe that's what they will do. And then, Now, the only thing is, the more they screw up, the better it is for Democrats. I mean, I can't imagine that we don't have the best chance of taking back the House that we've ever had after people have seen this gang that can't, it's not the gang that can't shoot straight. I mean, they can't even, I don't know.
Is that part of the reason, the dysfunction in the Congress? I saw Hakeem Jeffries before the speaker vote happened on the floor. He was actually on C-SPAN with Ari Melber, a strange happening, but I watched it a little bit today.
Yeah.
And he said effectively, the last time there was a midterm election and it was a referendum on the president, Dems lost 63 seats, and that didn't happen this time. So these margins, because of the outperformance of the Democrats in the midterms and Joe Biden's first term, because of the fear of perhaps these Republicans, they don't have a governing majority effectively. And when you got eight crazies or more, it's easy to lose some small faction and lose the whole House speakership, Bill.
Yeah. I want to go back. Dom mentioned this a little bit earlier, but the more we learn about Mike Johnson, I'll have some of my column tomorrow. I mean, this guy's he may be quiet, right? But he's dangerous. I mean, he's as extreme right as Jim Jordan. Somebody called him today, he's Jordan with a jacket and a smile. So he's as crazy as Jordan, right? But he is, he's for a national ban on abortion. He believes that we should recriminalize homosexuality. Get rid of the Lawrence v. Wright decision. And same-sex marriage, absolutely. So he would roll back everything, right? I mean, and he's Speaker of the House. He's he's as extreme as any of those, John McCain used to call them wacko birds, right?
Yeah.
It's just that he doesn't look like it, right? And he doesn't spout like it, and he's not on cable TV all the time.
Well, not yet, Bill, but he will
be. That's
right. And I hope that when he goes around, everyone asks him, inquires about these very specific questions. I mean,
How about last night?
He led the effort to shut down or to overturn the government, to reject Joe Biden's victory. And someone asked him that yesterday, and all these Republicans were mocking
boo.
The reporter. Boo, boo, shut up. Yeah. Some old lady, Virginia Fox, elderly congresswoman, was just like yelling at
Shut up.
It was just terrible. I think to myself, really? I mean, this is what the guy did. All the reporters is asking a question about his actions during that time frame, Bill, and they couldn't even bring themselves to address it. And then what? He has a press conference without taking questions from the press. It sounds like more like propaganda to me, Bill.
But let's come back to that, right? The question he was asked, do you accept the 2020 results of the 2020 election? He would not answer it. You know why? Because if he answers that question, Trump would not let him be speaker. But think how appalling that is. That a member of the House of Representatives, any Republican Congress person, that's the question they have to ask. And I say if they can't answer that question saying, yes, I accept it, then throw them the hell out of office, all of them.
Amen.
Bill Press, pundit, podcaster, columnist, friend of the Devil's Advocates, thanks to you. Thank you to Mark. That's what I call my congressman, Mark Pocan, the honorable Hey. Thank you all for listening. Crudy does DC edition.
Come back. So come quick. Back to DC. You know, right, love having you here.
I'm not leaving yet. I got one more show here. I'm doing it tomorrow. Stick around. Maggie Dunn is next. And then a special live from DC edition of the Empowered Caregiver National Caregiver Convention going on here at the Royal Sonesta. Liza Hellenbrand will bring you all the coverage. And I'm ducking in on that show as well. I'm making a special appearance after victuals and cocktails here with Bill Press in DC.
All right.
Thank you all for listening.
Thanks, Bill. Guys. Have one for me.